Good morning to everyone. Today is Palm Sunday. The epistle for Palm Sunday is from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brethren, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery himself to be equal with God, but abased himself, taking the form of a servant, being made to the likeness of men, and in the shape found as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of those that are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the glory of God the Father. As for the words of the epistle, please stand now for the reading of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. After they had crucified Jesus, there was darkness over the whole earth until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some that stood there and heard said, This man calleth Elias. And immediately one of them running took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the others said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to deliver him. And Jesus, again crying with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two, from the top even to the bottom. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints that had slept arose. As far as the words of the Holy Gospel, please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. And your faithful, the celebration of Palm Sunday, we read the Passion of the Lord at the principal Mass, and we have the blessing of palms and the procession with palms in honor of Christ the King. We recall in the Gospel, which will be read at the other Mass before the procession, that Jesus approached the city riding on a donkey. And as he approached, there were people waiting for the king of the Jews, the newborn king, the king of Israel, wasn't newborn anymore. They were waiting for him as though they were expecting the king to come that day. And Jesus came, and they hailed him, the King of Israel. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Son of David. And they took off their outer garments and laid them down on the roadway for him, for his animal to walk on. And they strewed branches along the way to sort of highlight the path by which he would come into the city, to show honor to this Son of David and King of Israel. And as you know, when he entered in, he went to the temple and threw out those that were buying and selling in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers, and those that sold doves, he told them, get out of here. The temple was meant for a place of worship, worship of Jesus, the Holy Trinity. And so we have today the remembrance of this triumphal entrance into Jerusalem, just before. He was accused of all kinds of crimes and condemned to death. Who is it that acclaimed him as the king of Israel? They were the simple people of the city. And who was it that condemned him to death? Well, they were the religious leaders of his time. Now it goes to show us that we are all subject to pride and hate and other sins. All of us are. It is not because we are a ruler that we have to be proud. No, we don't have to be. And it's not because we're a simple person of the city that we have to be humble. But the devil tempts all of us to pride. He puts in our way suggestions that we are more excellent than we really are. And there will be times when we humble ourselves and welcome Christ. Other times when we condemn him to death. We do it by our sins. And so it is for us to continually, a continual battle throughout our whole life to resist the tendency to be proud. And we need two particular things. We need, first of all, to resist pride, a conscious effort. We need to take positive steps on our own part. So, for example, not to trust ourselves all the time. If we trust ourselves all the time, then we will make a lot of mistakes because we think we know something and we know the answers and we really don't know the answers yet. Or the answer that we come to would be right except for the fact we did not take all the factors into consideration. Oh, I didn't think of that. And then we say, oh, what a mistake I made. We have to be very careful in this world because it is just too easy to follow a temptation, whether it be against charity, against faith, or against any other virtue. Against one of the commandments. We will break those things, those virtues and commandments, if we are not careful. Because of our tendency to make mistakes. Humans are prone to make mistakes. Care then is necessary. And the care that we have to take is to take sufficient reflection. God guides us, but only if we also guide ourselves carefully. Only if we take a moment to reflect and think of, well, am I sure of this or not? Is there something I didn't consider? And pride leads us to think, oh, I've seen this before, been there, done that. I know what to do now, and not even think and move ahead. And then we're on the banana peel. Boom. And so we have to be careful, even in seemingly familiar conditions. Ask the police what kind of methods you use to drive. They will tell you, drive carefully. They want you to follow the speed limits, insofar as it's still safe to drive at that speed in the conditions. You know? They want you to observe the stop signs. The stop sign gives you enough time to check. Is it clear? Why? They know what happens when you have an accident. Somebody wasn't paying attention, or they were going too fast, or they didn't look before they changed lanes. At least they didn't look carefully. Or you're following too close, or whatever else. These are the same things that happen when we commit sins. We were not taking care not to commit sins. And so part of being humble is being careful. Not just some of the time, but all of our waking hours. Watch yourself. Watch what's happening in your soul. Watch for these signs that the devil is working on you. Because every chance he gets, he does. Then, the second thing we need to be humble is to ask for it. The good Lord gives good things to those who ask for them. And this humility is one of the things that he wants us to have, all of us. He doesn't want anyone here proud. He wants us all to be like he is, as he told us, learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Imitate Christ. And so since he wants us to be humble, then if we ask for it, he'll be thinking, good, that's just what I want for him. That's just what I was hoping. And so we have to ask for it. Those two things. Be conscious of what's happening and be careful. And ask for humility in our prayers. And some people will be doing their very best to do this and still they make mistakes because of weakness or bad habit. Well, what do? Quit? No, stupid. Don't quit. Even if you've made a mistake, what do? You humble yourself after the fact and say, good Lord, look what I've done, I'm sorry. Now how do I make up for this? And do something to make up for it. There's usually something that's quite obvious that you can do. If you've told a lie, go back and tell the truth. If you took something you didn't have the right to have, give it back. If you deliberately hurt someone's feelings, or even if it was kind of accidental, make up to them somehow. Do something kind for them. And this way, we don't let things stay in a bad way. Whenever you have a piece of wood under your skin, do you just leave it there? No, you have to take it out. If it stays there, it is infected, and the sore doesn't go away. You take it out, then it can heal. Take away the bad, Undo the evil that you've done. Make reparation for sin. Even the sins of others, as our Blessed Lady directed the children of Fatima, make reparation. So today is Palm Sunday. We hail Jesus. In the second Mass, we will have the blessing of palms. We'll have the procession in honor of Christ the King. Hold the palms during the reading of the Passion. Take the blessed palms home as a sacramental. And if we're going to honor him as our King, we want to make him not just a king, but our God. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is God, and he's our King. And we must make this a part of our whole life, not just Sundays, but every day of our life. Remember, Christ is our King and our God. And this is our happiness in this world, to truly be his subjects. He wants us to be his the members of his kingdom over which he rules. And if we love and obey him in this world, he will help us to, he will give us a place in his kingdom in heaven in which we will rule with him. He puts us in his own place in the kingdom of heaven. We're united with the King. We have everything to do with Christ the King. And we prepare ourselves this way in order to be like those who did not consent to Jesus' punishment and death. There were a few. There were some of the apostles, all except Judas. They were not consenting to having Jesus punished. There were two members even of the Sanhedrin, Joseph and Nicodemus. They did not consent to the things that were done to Jesus. Of course, that did not stop it from happening, but nevertheless, they were not a part of it. If we hail Christ as our King, and we continue in that, even when Christ is being attacked and condemned, we remain faithful to him, then we'll have the rewards of the saints. We have to think of two people who are friends, and if they're genuine friends, then when one of them is in trouble, one of them is in great need, the other will stick by him. Reminds us of the old saying, a friend in need is a friend indeed. If your friend stays with you through thick and thin, that's a genuine friend. If he stays with you when you're condemned to death, that's a genuine friend. We want to be like this with Jesus, no matter what the world does. If the whole world rises up and says, Catholicism is evil, and only the little teeny-weeny Society of St. Pius X with a few others is left to resist the entire world. What will you do? Run away? Most people do. But it's because they are not genuine friends of Christ. Maybe just weaknesses, but weakness in friendship. And that's a serious weakness. Let us not be weak friends of Christ. Let us stick with him. Not just hail him on Palm Sunday, but when the world leaders are against him, let us stand with him and make our way to the cross with him. Suffer his ignominy with him, as did Mary, his mother, Mary Magdalene, and Saint John. Let us prove that we take him for our God, not just another prophet or some ephemeral leader. He is the eternal God. Let us continually remind ourselves of that, the eternal God, the one who created us all and redeemed us with his cross. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.